Episode 45, How to Handle Overwhelm.
Welcome to the First Year Married Podcast, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm marriage coach Kayla Levin, and I take newly married and engaged women from anxious and insecure to confident and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way.
Hi ladies, welcome back. I've been hearing from a lot of you lately. Those of you who, like me, are in the Orthodox Jewish community, we are in the holiday marathon. It's amazing. It's so amazing, and it's so busy, and there's a big difference for some of us. Some of us are spending time with family and friends and not cooking so much. Some of us are hosting a lot. Some of us have created impossible standards for ourselves and are working really hard even though we don't need to. We're all over the spectrum over here. No matter what, we're definitely off schedule. Things are different. We're missing work. We have deadlines, all sorts of things, and it can be a pretty intense time of year. For those of you not in the Orthodox Jewish community, feel free to learn from us for when your life gets busy later this year. I wanted to take this episode to give you some really practical tips on how to deal with the overwhelm. Sometimes we just kind of try to trudge through it. And while sometimes that works, sometimes we actually end up kind of running around in circles. And that's a shame because it makes our life so much harder than it has to be. I've also been listening to Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic. I know I'm very late to the game. I tried to listen to it a couple years ago. I wasn't ready. It came across my radar again, and I gave it a shot, and I'm so happy that I did. So there's a little bit I wanted to share with you from that book also. I'm going to give you today six points on dealing with overwhelm. By the way, those of you who are Instagram, if you haven't joined the conversation yet, please do over at First Year Married. I love hearing from you. I love when you respond to the questions. It definitely helps me inform these podcasts and the work that I'm doing. And it's just fun to be connecting with you. And if you're not on Instagram, good for you. Stay off. All right. So let's get started. First, I asked everybody over on Instagram to share what really overwhelms them. I'm going to just share some of the responses that came in. One person said, thinking about the future or unknown. Another, a messy house on top of juggling being a mom, wife, and having a job. Now, I just want to point out to anyone who hasn't yet heard episode 25 called The Dreaded Housework, which also has some of the material from class number one of the Kala cohort, although that goes much more in depth. Anyone who's feeling like resentful or frustrated about housework and not really getting why you and your husband aren't on the same page, you absolutely must at least listen to episode 25. If not, sign up for class number one of the Kala cohort. It's free, people. The class number one is totally free. So you're not committed to doing the whole program. All you have to do is go to firstyearmarried.com/Kala. I don't know why I'm giving the first class for free. You already have almost 50 free classes here on the podcast, but we're going to do that too because I want to make sure that anyone who joins the cohort is really committed to the work. So another person said, I roll with most things except when I haven't slept enough or yogaed in days. Another person, schoolwork, housework, and holidays that happen all at the same time. No idea what you're talking about. Parenting, attention being demanded of in so many directions at once, also crowds. So this person and I should be friends. Next person, too many projects at work that all have 100% urgency. I'm so glad you brought that one up because we don't talk about work enough over here on the podcast, even though I generally talk about it quite a lot with my clients. Next one is housework. Next, vacation days home with the kids all day. Another one, making decisions all the time. So decision fatigue is a very real thing. Okay, so now we're going to launch into the six steps. Number one, and I am sort of reminding you of this one because I have an entire episode on it. Episode 7 is called Baseline Self-Care. Now, the idea of baseline self-care is that we need to make sure we're dividing out, and we often don't, what is our absolute baseline? This one is non-negotiable, meaning I am not functioning in my normal capacity if I haven't taken care of my baseline self-care. So what will happen is people will start thinking about self-care and they're going to launch into like, well, I should be doing, you know, Zumba 3 times a week and I need to go to coffee with my bestie and da 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 da. Okay, and 8 hours of sleep, of course, and all these things. Okay, so those things are all very important to identify. But before we do that, we want to divide out your baseline self-care. So for me, baseline is 6 hours of sleep. If I go below that, my top priority is to get back to sleep, right? Even if it's a 20-minute nap or a 10-minute nap, because I know that under 6 hours of sleep, my brain cannot be trusted. My emotions cannot be trusted. I'm not functioning at normal. Some of you don't need that much sleep, and that's fine. You'll have a different baseline. My normal self-care expectation is closer to 7 hours because then I'm really functioning at my best, right? Baseline for me is getting out of the house like every day at some point, leaving the house, okay? Normal, which that's normally not an issue, but right now when we're in holiday mode and kids are all home, sometimes you actually have to push yourself to get out of the house. But normal for me is a yoga class once a week. That's something that if it goes away, I'm still functioning, I'm still thinking normally, but is a high priority for me. So baseline, again, it's basically non-negotiable. And when you do have to compromise, because sometimes someone is sick, sometimes you're sick, sometimes you're not going to get your baseline, right? But basically, the mantra is if you're below baseline, nothing means anything until you're back on track. That means the fight you had with your husband is because you're tired. That means the way your kitchen looks is because you're tired. That means your bad attitude, it doesn't need to be fixed. Just go back to sleep. Okay? Sleep is the number one here, but it could also be eating, right? If you're super, super hungry, this is not the time to analyze if you married the right guy. It's the time to go get a sandwich and then you can think about it later. Okay? So go back to episode 7 if you haven't heard that one yet, because it's really critical that you have a good understanding of what your baseline self-care is. And for a lot of you, you're learning basic adulting at the same time as learning, you know, basic marriage. And so those two things mean that you really do need to learn both, right? You do need to learn what are your baseline self-care things, because they will impact your relationship. They will impact how you're showing up in your marriage. And it's fine. Everyone has to learn it at some point. Just make sure you do. Okay. So one person actually wrote in, which is a baseline self-care one, just go to sleep and it will seem less scary. And I totally agree with that. In fact, I often will tell couples, please start going to bed angry. Right? This is a terrible, terrible piece of wisdom that somebody used to share, which is not wisdom at all. Never go to sleep angry. It's terrible because usually if you need to go to sleep, you can't solve the problem right now. So just go to bed. Okay. I've said that already like 5 times in this podcast. I'm not going to go into it more, but go to sleep if you're tired. Okay. Number two is to manage your lizard brain or physiological response. Okay, and so basically what that means is that we've got different parts of our brain, and the lowest, most sort of animalistic component is that fight, flight, or freeze response, right, that we can get into. That's when, you know, you'll be in a scenario, or like let's say your mother-in-law says something to you that feels very confrontational, and you feel like your palms sweating and your heart racing, you're having this very strong adrenaline rush, right, a physiological response to someone who literally just said something to you, right? And the reason for that is that that lower part of the brain doesn't really distinguish between what feels threatening but isn't actually threatening and what really is threatening, right? So it's going to respond to your mother-in-law like she's a bear. Now you might think she kind of is a bear sometimes, but she's not actually a bear. You don't need to run away. You don't need to like find a cleaver to protect yourself, right? You just need to maybe have boundaries. So it's very helpful to know that, because we have to sort of acknowledge like, whoa, okay, I just went into this major, major physiological response. Let me calm the nervous system. Let me get back into a healthy place in my body. That will allow for you to sort of access that higher level brain where you can now make good decisions. Okay. So some people wrote in about this. One person said, remind myself I am safe. Another person, or I think this might've actually been the same person, consciously slow my speech and actions. Okay, that can be helpful just because then you don't say something stupid to mother-in-law bear, but it can also be very helpful because it will physically slow you down. Another person, hiding from crowds and kids. Okay, that's another one where it's kind of both. It's not a good place for you to be when you're having a strong physiological response. It also will help you calm down. Sleep, stretch, breathe, repeat. First calm my nervous system, then tackle my thoughts. That's another one that was sent in. So breathing, okay? And I love this reminder, I am safe. Okay, so she said something to you or whatever, obviously it could be your boss, it could be your coworker, it could be anyone, your husband. But when we have that really, really strong response, we want to deal with the nervous system. And that means really literally taking breaths. Okay, there's lots of science behind this. This isn't like, juju out there anymore. There's plenty of science to back up. If you're having that strong physiological response, taking deep breaths will slow and center and calm the nervous system. Then you can move on to something higher brain oriented. Number three was know what feeds you and don't judge it. Okay, now I think this is one of those that it takes time to discover, and I think it's fine for this to take time to discover. But I want you to sort of stop and think, like, what are the things that when I do them, it's just kind of super fun for me. I just really enjoy it. Because as women, we spend a lot of time justifying what we're doing. Oh, well, I have to do this because, you know, it's required for my job. But meanwhile, you could also be like, also, I love it. Okay, that's how I feel about coaching. I know I need coaching to show up as my best self, okay? And I invest in coaching and I have a coach and I pay her. But guess what? I also love it. It's such a self-care activity. It's so much fun. So here are some other ones that you just, throughout your day, just identify these things are fun for me. And then you might actually be able to pull upon them when you want to. It could be when you put on your makeup. Do you do it? First of all, do you put on makeup? Maybe not. But if you do, are you doing it because you sort of feel like you want to be put together to get out of the house? Or is it kind of an artistic outlet for you? Do you enjoy seeing how it looks when it goes on? If you enjoy it, then that's actually a self-care activity. You could go and do that, right? You can put on your makeup twice in one day just for fun. It could be doing CrossFit or some really intense physical exercise. For sure, you're doing this to take care of your body, and that's an amazing thing, but it also might be really fun for you. So lean into that. Don't justify it that you're allowed to do it. Do something that's so fun, unapologetically. I don't care. It could be competitive ping pong. It could be crochet. What do you like? I think I said before, I used to do like planners and stickers and decorate them, and I'm so not artistic, and they would always look terrible, but I loved it. It was so much fun for me. One person wrote, take a walk and listen to soft music. And I'll say this, even though it's a little, maybe not the smartest thing for me to be saying, sometimes it's turning off audiobooks and podcasts and turning on music, right? We always want to be so productive and we feel like we could always be learning and staying on top of things. And sometimes you just have to turn it off and just turn on some amazing music. One for me is opening all the windows in the house. And then I make my husband run around and kill the bugs. It's terrible. It makes me really happy. Okay, number four, are you guys ready? We're gonna keep going. Number four is managing the to-dos. So here's two things that were sent in. One, cut out one of my tasks. I love that, first of all. Make your to-do list and then just cut one out, right? At the very minimum. And then she went on to say, maybe when the kids are home all day, it's okay not to do everything. I would say it's a basic standard not to do everything, but okay, she's on her way. The next one, someone wrote, I cannot say how much I love this. Make a list and then lose that list. Love that. Okay, if you haven't listened to episode 2, I'm sending you all over the place this time, but we just got to do that because otherwise this will be an hour-long episode. Episode 2 is called Why You Don't Have Enough Time. That's where you can learn my zero-based scheduling system. Okay, so that's a really, really helpful system for any time you're feeling overwhelmed. Go back, make sure you're doing those first things first. You have to start with baseline self-care. You have to start with, you know, calming the lizard brain. You have to do those things first. But if you can get to there and you can then go into zero-based scheduling, what it does is you're looking at your to-do list alongside an actual calendar with actual times in it. And it's going to force you into reality. We spend a lot of time in like, maybe I can squeeze it in. Okay. But if you've already blocked off your bare minimum amount of sleep, and you're going to be at a work meeting, you're not also going to be cooking dinner during either of those times, okay? So zero-based scheduling is going to sort of take the very, like, all the to-dos that are kind of floating around in your brain and get them strongly onto paper. So again, episode 2 is called Why You Don't Have Enough Time. And a couple episodes later, I even gave another zero-based scheduling update. So you can check those two out. Okay, number 5, of course, because what are you doing over here in First Year Married if we're not doing thought work? Comes from the person that I trained under, Brooke Castillo. Thought work is just sitting down, writing on a piece of paper. I just write literally CTFAR, circumstance, thought, feeling, action, result. There are different versions of this out there. Okay. This is the one that I found to be extremely practical and applicable to just about any scenario. So let's say my circumstance is work. I'm not going to say a lot about it. I'm just going to say work is overwhelming. So I'm not even putting is overwhelming in the circumstance, but work, I could write, I have a job. Okay. There's no interpretation on your circumstance line. It has to be something everyone could agree to. Then what do you think about work? Like what story are you telling yourself about work right now? Or what is true about work to you? And that might be there's too much to do. Okay. So that's CT, circumstance, thought. The next piece is feeling. How are you feeling? Now, be careful that you don't go into like, I feel like there's too much to do. That's not a feeling. A feeling is how do you feel in your body? Okay. So overwhelmed, depressed, might even be like angry or resentful. Like you just want somebody else to, like this is someone else's fault that there's too much to do. Okay. Action. So depending on who you are, when we're feeling overwhelmed, here are some actions that we might take. We might zone out. That means we might find ourselves on Instagram or Facebook or scrolling through emails or like articles online. We might eat. Okay. And we might even justify that by saying like, I just need a little bit of sugar to focus, or I just need a little, you know, we might leave the scenario because we can't handle that. Or we might like really prepare. What does that mean? When I am feeling overwhelmed with housework, I find myself preparing for a long time. I have to get my headset and I have to get the perfect podcast and I have to make sure I have the right shoes on and probably, you know, whatever. I have to do all these things to be ready to do housework. Meanwhile, by the time I finish preparing, it could be finished already, at least with a big chunk of it, right? Those are all buffering activities. Those are all activities that we're doing because we don't like the feeling of being overwhelmed, right? Because our brain tells us that overwhelmed is dangerous and we can't possibly do something at work if we're feeling overwhelmed. That's actually not true, right? You could actually do something and be overwhelmed at the same time, but because our brains don't really believe that, so then we try and do all these other activities. And then what's the result of that? Nothing does get done. There really is too much to do, right? Because you just proved to yourself that it takes an hour to accomplish nothing. So if there's anything on your to-do list, you're in trouble. Okay, so, okay, you're obviously, your model might not look exactly like this one. For the vast majority of you, you're going to listen to this podcast and I hope you're going to be really inspired. A lot of you are coming back and you're sharing it and I love it. And you're going to walk away and you're going to have something to think about or someone sort of like reset for you in the way that you're looking at things. And that's totally going to be enough for you. And for all of you, I hope you keep listening. I don't have ads on this podcast. I'm not making money off this podcast, but I want to help as many people as possible. And I'm so happy for all of you that are listening and are gaining from it. And you are so welcome to be here. For some of you, it's not enough. For some of you, you're either just totally excited and fascinated by thought work, or you just see that you're getting blocks or you're having trouble applying it, or most likely you're just not applying it. Like you love it, but it's not really happening for you. So those are the people for whom the podcast, I just want to point this out because I learned this from my own coach, just listening to it is always going to be a little bit of an intellectual activity. So for anybody who wants to be taking this into real application, into multiple areas of their life, that's the reason I have a program, okay? A lot of people ask me, like, I already listened to your podcast and I like your podcast, so what's the point of a program? Shouldn't I just listen to your podcast? And that's really the difference between the two. The program is where you're actually getting access to me to be working with me through all of this. And I do focus on marriage and women in their first few years of marriage primarily, but for most of my clients, they come back and tell me the material that they're learning here is something that they applied when it came to work or issues that were coming up with their health or with their weight. This is a tool that can be applied into many areas of your life. So for those of you who can take this thought work and you can apply it, then I, by all means, you should do so and you should enjoy it. For those of you who feel like you want to be applying it, but you're not and you don't really know what's holding you back, or you know and you just need more accountability, so definitely encourage you to reach out to me, Kayla@firstyearmarried.com, or come do the Kala cohort or do the online program so you can actually have access to work with me through this work. I'm not currently open for one-on-one clients, so the best way to work with me right now is through the program. Okay, you ready for number six? This is what I was alluding to when I was talking about Elizabeth Gilbert. I want to offer you, for number six, that perfectionism is boring. Okay? Now, the question I'm really answering with this is, why is all this so hard for us? Right? Like, why are we getting so overwhelmed? Why can't we get unoverwhelmed? Why is this so hard? I see this with women across the board because I think that we tend to be very conscientious and we want to do things right for a lot of us, not all of us. I especially see this for women who grew up in the Orthodox Jewish community. I see some of you treating the way that you saw your mothers run the house with the same intensity and importance as things that are actually included in Jewish law, like keeping kosher or Shabbos or other Jewish laws, okay? So yes, you grew up seeing your mother keep meat and milk separated in the kitchen. And you also saw that she always cleaned the kitchen before she went to bed. But here's the thing. Only one of those has any actual inherent value, right? And those of you who don't have the kosher part, you can still look at this. There is no moral or ethical value in keeping a clean home. What does that mean? You are not better or worse. as a person, as a mother, as a wife, as a homemaker on any of these things, it is not morally or ethically valuable. It is something that you might use as a tool to help you, right? So if you set up things like I always clean my kitchen before I go to bed, it should be there because that is what helps you function at your best. Because you like waking up. It's a gift to your future self. You like waking up to a clean kitchen. I'm not saying everyone has to just start letting their houses go crazy and, you know, fall apart. What I'm saying is we have to stop attaching this to our inherent value. Okay? It's the same thing with work. If you're being given too many things to do at work and it's more than you could possibly do, it doesn't make you bad if you're not doing it, right? We have to separate this out. So here's this quote from Elizabeth Gilbert that totally stopped me in my tracks. She said, "I think perfectionism is just fear in fancy shoes and a mink coat, pretending to be elegant when actually it's just terrified. Because underneath that shiny veneer, perfectionism is nothing more than a deep existential angst that says again and again, I am not good enough and I will never be good enough." So how often are we hiding behind our perfectionism to avoid being vulnerable? How often are we hiding behind it? We can't even do anything because we have made it mean something about us if we do subpar work, if our work at work is subpar, if our work in school is subpar, if our work at home is subpar. We think that means something about morally about who we are, right? And so we reason, if we can't do it perfectly, why do it at all? And it feels very noble, like it comes from a place of dedication. But I call bull on that. As we're focusing on this concept of overwhelm, I want you to question how much of this is based in your perfectionism. Even some of you are going to say, oh my gosh, I'm so not a perfectionist. I'm so type B. I even want you to question it because there are probably places in your life, I can pretty much guarantee that you will find places where you have a certain ideal and you're attaching it to your value, to your worth. And what kind of act of courage would it be for you to say that what you are and what you're willing to accomplish in your life is enough? And I don't mean with apologies or self-deprecating remarks or jokes about yourself or sort of snide, like, oh, you know what, like my mother would never have served on paper plates or whatever it is. None of it. What it would require courage. It would require vulnerability for you to say, this is what I'm creating in my life, in my home, in my work, in my schooling, and I'm owning it. And I know it's not 100%. I know it's not A+. And I'm owning it as perfectly enough. I just want to encourage you that any one of you can look at whatever is overwhelming, the kids being home for multiple days on end, or the to-do list, or the requirements from your job, or whatever it is, and not just to say, oh, no one could possibly accomplish all that, because you know what, you probably could find someone who could do all of it, but to say that's too much for me, right? Sometimes to just say that's too much, or to say, I'm going to do it in this way, I'm going to do it with this shortcut, or I'm going to make it not so fancy or not so perfect. Like I said in one of the last episode or the episode before, laundry doesn't have to be folded, right? So I just want to give everyone permission to seek out those areas of perfectionism, to question them, and to really just look them in the face and to say, you're boring to me. You're not exciting. This perfectionism, it isn't noble. It isn't romantic. It isn't holy. It's just holding me back. It's making my life less than it could be. And you're just boring to me and I'm going to just let you go whenever we find it. I'm going to offer that to you. Obviously, take it or leave it, right? If that's something that works for you, that resonates with you, absolutely, I hope this works for you. And if you're like, nope, I'm going to hang on to my perfectionism, it works really well for me, then go for it. But you can also play with this idea and give it a shot. So I just want to wish all of you an amazing week, a week of dealing with your baseline self-care, with the lizard brain, giving yourself permission to have a baseline, to have a place underneath which, if you have to go there, if you fall below that baseline, you get back up and you start taking care of yourself and you become your own first priority, and to be able to live in a world and in a self that isn't perfect, but that is perfectly enough for you. And I will see you back here on the podcast next week. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.